Snipes, Mountie shrieked. She gave us detention the next day, shutting us in the classroom and making us write, "I am disgustingly greedy and a disgrace to the whole school," in our best copperplate handwriting. She made Olivia write it out 200 times. She gave me an extra 50 lines. "Because you of all girls should know better, Opal Plumstead." I was top of the class. I couldn't seem to help it. It meant that some teachers liked me and made me their pet, while other teachers like Mountie seemed to resent me bitterly. I tried hard to make the other girls like me, but most of them despised me. They considered it shameful to be such a swot, though what else did they expect from a scholarship girl? I had been dreadfully lonely, but now I had Olivia, and she was my best friend. Olivia Brand came to St. Margaret's last term and didn't quite fit into any of the little gangs of girls. She wasn't pretty enough to be popular. She was quite plump so that the pleats on her tunic were stretched out of place. She had a very prominent forehead. She looked as if someone were permanently pulling hard on her long, frizzy plait. She wasn't from a desperately wealthy family. Her father was a buyer at Bead and Chambers, the big department store in town. This meant that Olivia was shunned by the lawyers and doctors' daughters. She was very young for her age, liking to play little girl games. When she was particularly happy, she would break into a lumbering skip. She was scornfully ignored by the sophisticated girls who already had proper figures and pashes on boys. For the first few days of term, Olivia had blundered around by herself. She didn't make any overtures of friendship to me, and I was too proud to. It was actually Mountie who brought us together. She paired us up in housecraft and had us sharing a worktop while we made rock cakes. We measured and mixed together, and I grinned sympathetically when Olivia couldn't resist having a sly nibble at our raisin allowance. We ended up with very bland rock cakes with scarcely any flavouring, but we'd become firm friends. Now we went round arm in arm and wrote little notes to each other in class and walked home together every day. Olivia was given a weekly allowance. It was supposed to be for books and stationery and ribbons and stockings, but she spent most of it on sweets. She was a generous girl and shared them scrupulously with me, though I didn't get an allowance of any kind and couldn't reciprocate.
"Never mind, you're my best friend," said Olivia. "Of course we go even Stevens."
She shook the bag of Fairy Glen toffees as if it were a tambourine until we skirted the church and threaded our way between the gravestones. I liked reading the quaint inscriptions and admired the stone angels, but Olivia seemed suddenly disconcerted.
"Do you believe in ghosts?" she repeated.
She was peering around, warily staring at a broken sepulchre.
"Perhaps I do," I said. "Shush, let's listen for them."
"Ghosts don't talk," said Olivia, giggling nervously. "I think they might, if we're very receptive."
"Hush now, let's see."
I made an elaborate show of putting my finger to my lips. Olivia clamped her hand over her mouth to stop herself spluttering. We waited. A bird sang in the tree, repeating the same three trills again and again. Leaves rustled slightly in the breeze. There was a very distant rumble of traffic. Nothing else. Then we heard a faint, keening sound. Olivia gasped and clutched me.
"Did you hear that?" she whispered.
"Listen," I hissed. Silence. Then it came again. Soft, sad, yearning.
"Oh, there it is again! Quick, Opal, let's run! I don't like it!"
Olivia cried. Then she saw my face.
"It was you," she said, and thumped me with her satchel. "Of course it was me, idiot," I said.
I hummed again and Olivia put her hands over her ears.
"Stop it, it sounds so creepy. Stop or I won't share my toffee chews."
That shut me up effectively. I mimed buttoning my mouth and hitched myself up on a tomb, swinging my legs.
"All right, I've stopped now. Come on,"
I said, patting the space beside me.
"I'm not sitting there, right on top of a dead person," said Olivia.
"Well, they can't do anything, can they? Not if they're dead." I looked again at the broken sepulchre.